Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Artificial Talk. I'm your host, Robert, with my co-host,
Patrick.
All right, man, this week has been crazy for tech news.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, we went from like a month ago having nothing, just like scraping just whatever we could find, like the random stuff. And now, like, with, I remember, like, 2 weeks ago and stuff with, like, the space thing and last week and just this week now, it's just a lot of stuff coming out now. I mean, this is the time. June is normally the time that a lot of stuff gets released in terms of, I guess, video game stuff, because this is close to the E3 time. And I know generally, E3, because everything that's going on got canceled. So now you have a bunch of companies trying to do their own thing during this time to show new games and stuff. And we also have one major thing with a company, Sony, releasing their PlayStation PS5 conference that happened this past week, 2 days ago. And man, we finally got to see what it looks like. People are calling it the router. people are just all different types of names and opinions about this thing.
I mean it's not like Xbox had a better design though, honestly. Like,
yeah,
yeah, everyone just called it the fridge. So we got the router, we got the fridge, you know.
The whole smart home setup. I wonder if the fridge could play Skyrim. But yeah, I mean, I do have to give him credit. It is better than the Xbox. The Xbox just looks like a tower, and it's just like, I'm like, oh no, not another black box tower. And at least they tried something. I really like how they just went out of their way and make it, because the whole thing, I mean, so I come from like the background of like game collecting and stuff, and I always like to have a diverse like collection of consoles. And if they all look the same, it's kind of like why I kind of collect them if you could just build a PC. And it's just very interesting design. I mean, like, it took forever for them to release this console. Because we were first leaked, I think it was the controller first, that just everyone was talking about for like a week. Oh, it was also like the test, the one that looked like an engine. I'm glad it's not the engine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was that, then the controller, and then now we finally get this, which took the whole entire presentation just to release it. I mean, the last 10 minutes was just a visual arts effect that took them 10 minutes just to release like what the thing actually looks like. It's like the one of the most like longest releases that I've seen in a while. But we still don't know how much it costs. So
yeah, and I think that will be a factor, right?
Yep, so PlayStation Xbox has not released a cost. And so that's gonna and so it's kinda like a cold war between Sony and Microsoft right now. Cause no one wants to release a price because they feel like the other one's gonna undermine them. Like, yeah. A good example of this was all the way back in the late 90s with the PS1. And the Sega, the Dreamcast, I believe it was that. Mm-hmm. It was a Sega Saturn, but it was Sega released their console or whatever, and they're like, oh, it costs this much. And then Sony released, they were like the next day or the next week, and they released it like $100 cheaper, and that's why Sega really just like started going bankrupt, because they like undercut them. And that's the kind of the same stuff that's like kind of happening here now, because it's like, we had the last war, and we know that Sony with the PS4 won that one. And so this is the next generation. And so both of them are scared because they know it's going to cost a lot of money now. Because these are getting pretty much close to PC grade. I would, like, there's a bunch of memes. It's just like trading in my 2080 for PS5 or whatever. But yeah, I mean, because they're going to cost, I mean, people are expecting, I'm probably thinking maybe like somewhere around 600 for the PS5. I don't know,
yeah,
about Xbox.
About right.
Maybe Xbox could be 500, because it's just like,
Yeah, normally like Xbox PC is case. A little bit cheaper. In some cases, at least, yeah.
Because I know that they really spent a lot of money on their cooling system. I remember from what I read. A lot of their money went for cooling and thermals. And
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
And their SSD, which is the talk of the town. Their SSD is also because of the whole entire thing going on. And a lot of phone and companies that make phones and stuff, mini electronics, are all fighting for that kind of like SSD range or whatever. So they're like low stock, so they're more expensive, if I remember correctly. But their SSD technology is pretty, they really got it down in terms of loading and stuff. I mean, speaking about one of the games now, Ratchet and Clank, which is one of the new releases for the PS5, uses that new SSD feature. And you can see in the game demo that they were going through the, it's like different dimensions, and there was just a seamless transition between each dimension. There was no loading screens. They just hopped through a portal into a different world, and there was like no loading screens, which really shows like the technology that we're getting at.
Yeah.
Because everyone complains about those loading screens.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was that all pre-rendered, or was that an actual like live gameplay?
Live gameplay.
Really?
Yeah, the portal was just there, and then I don't know if you another thing like I don't know if you watch like Minecraft. It was a Minecraft video I remember seeing one time where a modder, Seth Bling, made a portal to the Nether that you could just walk into. I don't know if you ever saw that, but it was like,
I think
that.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Where it was just like the portal to another world, and you just hop through it like seamlessly.
Hmm.
And it definitely caught my interest.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to be a first party, and I mean, third party companies and stuff are not going to do the same thing that first party will do and use all the software to its like potential. Or all the hardware to its potential, because they're probably, if they're a cheap like indie game studio, they're gonna pick the cheapest route and not make a specific version for the PS5 that uses that feature. So, right. So there'll probably still be loading screens for third party.
Yeah, but at the same time, with the improved SSD, it'll be minimized.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the SSD will still make it faster. But you won't see a noticeable difference, because I remember Xbox said that they're like, oh wow, yeah, this, I mean, or they're like, oh yeah, Sony has their really fast speeds. I mean, if you're into that thing, because they don't really see like fast loading time as a real choose factor for a console, but they're more like graphics and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I mean, I really want to play that Ratchet game just to see how it's like, because just seamlessly going through stuff. And now I can imagine just, like, Bethesda games, where they have, like, those 30-minute, like, feels like forever loading screens of, like, the Fallout, like, little figures being, like, imagine that being seamless.
Yeah, I'd be pretty nuts.
But, yeah, that was crazy. One more thing to note about the console was that they had the diskless version and then the disk drive version. So there's two versions. And I think Xbox has the same thing with theirs, which is showing that we're finally, like, moving into the digital era. That we knew it was coming for a while. So you could definitely tell that they're doing that version just because it'll like probably soften the blow of how expensive it could be. Because having like a disk drive, I mean, if they reduce it, then they could have a cheaper model, and maybe people won't get impacted that much. So that's what you can see that they're doing.
Because I think also, like, isn't the disk drive mainly used, or at least it was kind of implied that it was mainly going to be used for, like, Blu-ray and stuff?
Well, it's a 4K Blu-ray disk drive, something like that.
Hmm.
Or whatever. I mean, but do you really use your PlayStation? I mean, I use my PS2 to play DVDs, like, a couple times.
Yeah, I think I've used my PS1 to play a CD once or twice.
Yeah, so, I mean, but now it's kind of just like, oh, that's cool. But it's more, I mean, I always like physical. I don't know about you, but so I'm always going to opt for the disk drive for consoles. I mean, for PCs, it's whatever, because you can build whatever you want. But,
yeah. I think that digital does have a very important mile, or, like, a really important place in a lot of, like, if you collect stuff, I guess. If it's, like, there's an important place for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think you will get more sales if you have a physical version alongside a digital one. Like, I would still probably in this case opt for more of a digital console, just because I'm not like super diehard about like having physical copies normally. Mm-hmm. Like with the Switch or whatever, the Switch is different from most other consoles since it's on the go, but like on that console there is a reason why you might want to get most of your games digitally, especially if you play them a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like Animal Crossing, like that's a game you're expected to play once a day, every day, or something like that, right? Mm. So having to swap out the cartridge in and out like every day, if you have other games you want to play that are physical, it's gonna wear down like the actual reader, I guess. And I don't think it'll be that bad, especially since the Switch is like cartridge based, which would probably wear down faster than say a disc drive. Mm-hmm. But I think that still is a bit of a thing that they might want to consider. But then collector's editions and stuff are gonna have to change if it's only digital, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, there'll still be like the collector edition consoles or like controller skins, but
yeah.
There's a couple of things that come with physical. There is just the collector side, just like owning, like, oh, I own this. Like, it's something I physically have. And it's just something that, like, I could, like, it just, like, shows off and reminds me of, like, whatever memories I have of this game. Another thing would be space. Because I know I guess more for Nintendo Switch rather than disc, because cartridges can hold more, but, like, you'll eventually, if you download everything, you'll eventually run out of space or come close to it, depending on how big the games are. But, especially with, like, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, with, like, all that stuff, is, like, 190 gigabytes. But, I mean, there probably won't be nothing that crazy that we'll see on consoles yet. Hopefully, maybe.
Yeah, I would hope that there's some sort of, like... I want to say compression, but I guess optimization would be the better word of, like, data usage. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure, like, they could cut down on some of that 190 gigabytes, right?
Yeah.
There has to be some way they can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the last thing would be, like, downloading. So, like, if you're, like, in a low with, like, bad internet connection, because the whole entire world is still not up to speeds, which they can download. Mm-hmm. Like, 100 gigabyte files or like anywhere from up to there, maybe it'll take them forever to download games. So
yeah, I mean, like, even for me, like, I 100 gigabyte download is not an easy task to download, I guess. Yeah. Per se, like, it would probably take all day. Mm-hmm. So I think like having a massive file to download isn't great. And I would hope that they try to fix it, especially because SSDs tend to have less storage normally. Because, well, less storage for price, because they're generally pricier than a hard drive. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that they get slightly smaller in case, like, you don't get the largest storage model, and it'll be like really bad if you just run out of space really fast. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, those are the kind of, like, 3 points. And then on the digital side, you have your... I mean, there's a lot more sales for digital. I know this. You're not able to, like... There's no, like, rent programs. Well...
I mean, it could be implemented, but I don't think there are any.
There's, like, PS Now, which is, like, game subscription, and then, like, the whole Stadia or whatever. But, like, all that game subscription stuff.
That
Xbox
is true.
Game Pass, Origin, Access, all those stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's, I guess I could see it, but there's no buy any used digital version, I guess, to like keep. But I know Amazon, for example, has like movies, because I bought like a movie, like I rented a movie off of Amazon recently, and it was just like, oh, you buy it for like a day access or something, and mm-hmm. then it like goes away. So I guess you could do something like that. I guess maybe PS Plus has that, where it's like once you don't have PS Plus, you like lose access to the games, but you still own them.
Yeah, that's fast.
But yeah, I mean that, and then I guess like more a minimalistic approach to like not cluttering your place with like games and stuff all around your room or something, and you can go way more minimalistic with your whole setup.
I mean, you can still be minimalistic with physical games.
Yeah. But I meant, like, this would be more minimalistic.
That's true. Then you just have your console there. Like, you don't have to get up, put anything in.
This is legit on the go. Like, I don't have to pack anything else except my console to go.
Yeah, like, if you want to go to, like, I don't know, some other dude's house who doesn't have one, you don't have to take, like, your copy of, like, Zero Dawn, Horizon 3, or whatever.
Yeah, even though we're probably getting away from those times now.
Yeah, that is true.
It's such a pastime now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there's a pro and a con to that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, as long as companies keep digital storefronts up for a while, like, you know how the Wii shop closed down, like, not that long ago, like, maybe a year or two ago?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer than that, but, like, it wasn't, but that was well past the Wii's lifetime, you know?
Yeah, I mean, okay, yeah, Wii's an interesting case, because I know Nintendo hasn't had the best thing of doing, like, online stuff, and it took them a long time to figure out online stuff compared to other game companies, and what they should have done is just had the eShop, whatever, be connected to the Wii or something, because I know, I mean, PlayStation, you have the PS Store, which is just always carried over to the next console. There's not, like, one for that just console only. There's one store that's connected to all the consoles. Same with Xbox.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just that Wii was trying to figure out its footing.
Yeah, I was trying.
They might have also been one of the first companies to really, like, implement something like that so strongly.
I believe so. Let me think. Yeah,
because
it might have been the first shop like that. Let me think.
Yeah, because I think, like, Xbox 360 and PS3 had online shops.
Because Wii was 2006.
Pushed as hard, right?
Wii was 2006. I don't know what time its store launched, but the console was before the other two competitors.
Yeah.
So, it might have been the first online shop.
Because, I mean, like, I think also, when I think about it, like, they were really pushing for, like, old games to be online, right? And, like, if you wanted to play those old games, you had to get them on the internet, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't go into the store and buy a physical copy of it. So in that way, they were pushing it a bit harder than, like, Sony or Xbox, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, they had the Wii Store exclusives or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, that's kind of, like, the first time you saw exclusives like that.
Yeah. But as long as companies kind of follow suit, like, even after, like, they say they stop making game consoles and they keep the storefront up, I think that'll be better long-term than, like, having physical copies of stuff, because, like, physical copies can break. Physical copies can just stop being able to be read. Versus having something online, firstly, they'll have a lot more, like, buys over time, right? Like, even after they stop making consoles, people will still probably buy games if they, like, become cheaper or they want to buy a game just randomly in the future.
But yeah.
Versus, like, not being able to buy physical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then that money will also go straight to the company rather than, like, someone who's selling their used copy of a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, a good example of that is probably the Steam store. Because, I mean, they made games, like, what? Like, a long time ago? I mean, they made Alex?
Yeah, Half-Life Alex. Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was only recently. Before that, they just stopped making games entirely and just became,
they did keep up games. They didn't really make a whole lot of new games, but TF2 was alive for a while.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, they upkeep, but, like, that's, like, an example of how they could just, like, stop making new games for a while and just use the store as a platform for people to buy games.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, on Steam, I don't know about this, about other thing, but you own the license to just, it's like you own not the game itself, but the license to the game or something.
Yeah,
like,
I remember
once you lose your
that.
Account, you mm-hmm. can't get it back or something. Or, like, they could take away from you at any time or something like that. I forget what it was.
Yeah, it's something like you don't actually legally own it, so you can't do whatever you want with it, right?
Mm-hmm. And at any point, they can take away the game from you.
Yeah, like, technically, I guess, in that case, if they were, like, super anti-modding and you were to mod your game, they could, in theory, just take the right away from you to own the game.
Yeah.
Even though you purchased it or whatever.
But that's very rare, so...
It's very rare, and I haven't heard of a case of that happening ever, so... It was just a
hypothetical. There's more chance of your disc breaking than that happening, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking about games, so now, like, we covered the console. Now, speaking on some of the games, there was a couple, like I said, there was the Ratchet & Clank one that caught my eye. Let me pull up the list. So, okay, it was funny because the whole entire event started off with Grand Theft Auto 5. And I remember seeing it, and it's just like, it was a black screen, and you heard like a GTA voice. And you're like, I was like, oh, is this like some, like maybe like a Liberal City remastered? Or is this like the new GTA? And then it just Grand Theft Auto 5 coming to PS5. And then the guy's like, oh yeah, we're really happy to be working with our longtime partner GTA, because he's been on every single console. And like they have, because it's 1-2 was PS1. 3, Vice City, San Andreas was PS2. 3 was on PS2. And then PS3 had GTA 4. And then PS4 had 5. Well, and also 5 was on 3. But anyways, there's that. There was a whole entire Spider-Man, which was... everyone thought it was expansion, but it turns out it's a standalone game, but they're probably going to use the same assets or something. So it's not going to be connected to the game, but it's going to be something like that. Gran Turismo 7, one of my childhood car racing games that I've played since PS2, and probably one of my like close-to-heart racing games. So that's always good to see that. There was one really cool one. It was called Kerna, Bridge of Spirits. That was one that I've seen that I'm actually really hyped about, because it's like a Pixar movie, but you're playing it in a sense, and it's like a lot of like mystic lore and stuff. It looks really cool. Sackboy's there. I mean, that was whatever. I don't really play. No PlayStation All-Stars 2.
what a shame.
What a shame. I thought it was gonna come back. There was Ghostwire Tokyo, which was interesting. It was a bunch of horrors from like a bunch of Tokyo horror stories that you're like this guy like killing those like horror stories from Japan or whatever. That was interesting. The gameplay kind of reminded me of I think his name was Zenyatta. What was it? The Overwatch robot guy that was like experienced? Yeah, Zenyatta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It looked like Zenyatta, the video game.
Interesting.
Just how he, like, because how he flinged projectiles with those same hand movements is very weird. Now, there was the one I was really. Little Devil Inside looked very sick, and I'm very hyped to play it. It's an indie game. It's a very cartoon stylish Monster Hunter. Which looks like, because Monster Hunter was just like, oh, it's okay for me. It never really caught my eye. I mean, Worlds was there. That was cool. But I mean, I never really, I don't know. It was kind of like there. It wasn't like, oh, this is like a hype game series. But like, this one looks really sick. So very hyped for that one. Demon Souls Remaster, Resident Evil Village or Resident Evil 8 or whatever. Deathloop from the people that made Dishonored. The Arcane series, so that's really cool to see it, because Dishonored was a fun game. Horizon Forbidden West, which is a sequel to the first one. Some other games, some indie games. But yeah, so that was the majority of that event. And I've noticed something after seeing this event and seeing the next event that happened today, which was the let me pull it up as well. The Future Game Show by Games Radar. That also that was happened today, and that also had a really lot of interesting stuff. And I could go on that more later. What I saw was, I noticed this whole entire area, which I'm gonna call like quote unquote like E3, whatever, quarantine edition. I noticed that we really saw indie games really taking over these presentations. It was less AAA and was more indie. You could see the trend like happening through every like E3 and stuff, that it just continuously went this route. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like first party stuff or like AAA. I mean, there's some definitely interesting ones, but I think indie really kicked out of the park this whole entire E3 quarantine edition.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was way more indie focused, and there was a lot of very cool indie games, as well as I noticed another thing from this event that I noticed that there's a huge trend towards the cyberpunk kind of future era for all these games they're releasing. I know, because I know before Cyberpunk 2077, there wasn't really anything that really stood out of the park. There were some indie games that took place in the future, but they were like either top down or they were like side scrollers or like pixels or something. But there wasn't anything big and like you can move around and stuff.
Yeah, there wasn't anything that was like kind of more open and like cyberpunk.
Yeah, like,
because I know like Mirror's Edge, the sequel, came out a few years ago, but like it's not really like cyberpunk, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is futuristic, but like there's very few of those games though, every generation stuff.
Yeah, and that is true.
I kind of equate this to, you know how like medieval games and RPGs like were just like they caught on and they went crazy with so many different fantasy and RPG games. Kind of seeing this cyberpunk kind of stuff be the next wave of video games. Because, I mean, I would say at least 75% of the games released were, like, futuristic cyberpunk inspired. And I think that's all because of that first Cyberpunk 2077 or whatever that people saw. And they're like, oh, wow, this is actually really sick. Because it's, like, something new. Because, I mean, I'm kind of, like, falling out of the game scene a little bit. And, like, a lot of the stuff just, like, or the majority of the stuff kind of seems like, oh, we've already seen that, like, oh, FPS shooter or RPG, it's just like the normal stuff that we see from like AAAs, but with these new indie games, we're really seeing some diverse kind of new ways of playing games, which has caught my interest. I know there's one game that you'll really like. It was a shmup that got announced.
Huh. Okay.
At the... It was Signy, which I thought was really slick. That was an indie game. That was at the Future Game Conference. There was a lot of, like, Ghost Runner was sick. Dustborn. That was there. Hotshot. You're seeing some, like, retro-inspired indie games and way more now. Because, I mean, like, let's look. I mean, like, when did Shovel Knight come out? Because I would say...
Oh, man, that was a while ago.
Because I would say that really... I mean, that was really the first indie game that really, like, made people like, whoa, I would think, right?
I think a lot of indie games had, like, retro art and stuff in them, but Shovel Knight, what I think was one of the first indie games where people looked at it and they were like, this isn't trying to imitate the old style, this is a game that embraces it and is the old style, but it's just on a newer console, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't feel like a game that was made and they were just like, oh yeah, we really like the style. It was a game that was like, if you had released that back when all the graphics and stuff were like 16-bit, it would do just as well as it's doing today, sort of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It felt like retro. It wasn't like retro inspired, it was just straight up retro, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah. But they were, like, inspired by retro to even make the game.
Yeah, though. Well, that's true, yeah. I'm just having a hard time putting into words what I'm trying to say, because a lot of indie games are inspired by retro games. But it just feels like it's a little bit more than just inspired.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, Kena Bridge of the Spirits, which was that Pixar game I was talking about, was, like, it looked like they took a PS1 game and they, like, made it, like... It, like, with all new graphics and stuff, like, it looked very cool. I guess it's kind of like what I'm missing is that, that indie games are really like fulfilling is that like these like same like AAA companies and first parties and stuff, they're just making a bunch of remasters and remakes now. And there's not that many as many new IPs. There's just like, oh, if it ain't broke, what was the saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Yeah. That sounds about right. Mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah. but, yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, they're, like, doing a lot of remakes and remasters stuff, like, focusing on just new games, but maybe there isn't.
I feel like a lot of, like, AAA first-party sort of games, I think you're right in that they're remastering quite a few of them. I don't know if it's as prevalent as you think it is.
Yeah.
Because, like, from what I'm thinking of, I know that they remade Resident Evil 2, and I think they came out with a Resident Evil 3 remake as well.
Yeah, they made 4. They remaked 4, 2, 3. Well, they had the 1, 2, 3, like, remake or remaster. I forget what it was, but... But there was that. I mean, I know that. I mean, there was the Dark or Demon Souls remaster everyone's hyped about. I'm trying to think. There was like the sequel to, New Horizon or Horizon. Was it New Horizon?
Oh, New Horizons.
Horizon what? For just Horizon.
Oh,
because there's Horizon Zero Dawn and there's like the remake now.
Is that a remake, or is it a new game?
I mean, new game. Sequel. My bad.
Yeah.
Which is just like, oh, okay. I mean, I haven't played the other one, so I can't really say anything. I don't want to be starring a rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to get something new. But
yeah, I can see where you're coming from. It's just kind of like a lot of these new games are just kind of like sequels, you know? They're not like brand new ideas, which is fair. Like, no one can come up with brand new ideas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, there were really no games that I can think of right now that were like brand new. Like, they've never been done before by like Sony, right? Like, Ratchet and Clank. It's a new game, yeah. Yeah. There's new characters in it and everything.
It takes new concepts and stuff. Like, it's not the but same thing spit out.
It's the same IP.
You know? It's the same IP, but... I mean, it's definitely... I mean, I don't want to have none. But I don't know. I'm just feeling
better
like
than
it's
nothing.
Overcrowded, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of like... At some point, I feel like these companies, if they want to bring new people in, they got to make new IPs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe not a lot. Maybe just a few. But... The fact that there were, like, no new IPs from what I can tell that weren't just indie games is kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so let me... Well, okay, a good, like, example, seeing how PlayStation evolved. So, like, going back to the PS1, because I had this up here, the first year release, because that's what I'm generally looking at, the first, like, year of releases is generally how consoles kind of does. It could pick up like later in its lifespan, but this is generally how first people see it. There was Air Combat, which is the Ace Combat series, Wipeout. I mean, a bunch of like sports games, Street Fighter, which is just an arcade port. There was Tekken 2. Let me think here. Command and Conquer, the first one, which I don't know if that was a port or something. Tales of Spheres. So, I mean, I guess, sequels and stuff. I mean, Warcraft 2. So, I mean, there's always been, I guess, sequels. Chaos Control, which started that series. But, I mean, that was a PS1. Like, the first year releases. So, I mean, there were some new IPs, it looks like. Star Wars Dark Forces, some ports, maybe, some... But there was some sequels. I guess sequels are fine. I guess I'll take that back and say, like, sequels are, like, as long as it's not, like, NBA or, like, or like a sports game or... Because I know at the conference they released NBA 2K21, and the mm-hmm. it started off with the guys, like, oh, you're gonna... You won't believe this one or something like that. Or it's like, you're not ready for this. And I'm like, and everyone's like, yeah, I don't think anyone will be ready for NBA, another one. And everyone's like joking, like, oh man, they could have faster card swipes now, zero loading screens for loot boxes.
Mm.
But that was funny. But I mean, going back to this, I guess that's fine. But there wasn't really any remasters. There's ports. Going to PS2, more sports games, Ridge Racer, some JRPGs, Resident Evil, scanning, racing, flying games, some, like, unique games, The Sims. Oh, the first Sims. Interesting. I guess. And then you go to the PS3, which, honestly, the PS3 had a really good first year. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed, the first one. You had Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. You had Guitar Hero 3. You had Lego Star Wars A Complete Saga, which was just a PS2 port over. Mm-hmm. Sports games. Racing games, Ratchet and Clank. The Orange Box. I don't know if you remember the Orange Box, but all the Valve games. The Simpsons game, which are really good things. Uncharted, the first Uncharted game.
Oh wow.
Yeah, this is all the first year releases for PS3. I mean, the sports game stuff. They all came out that year.
Jeez.
Conan, Haze. I don't even remember Haze. I mean, I don't even know what Haze is, but I remember seeing the profile picture. It's like the yellow guy, the yellow helmet guy. That's all I remember, but Metal Varner. Skate, the first one. Elder Scrolls Oblivion, which is probably a port from the PS2. But yeah, I mean, that was the first year for the PS3, which is like probably like one of the best years, it looks like. But I mean, the console was so expensive that probably not a lot of people were there for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, PS3 had no... It had some ports, but didn't have any remasters, remakes, I guess. And then PS4, you had Killzone, Assassin's Creed Black Flag, Battlefield 4, Knack, The Last of Us, which I guess it came out on the PS3's end lifespan, or we got ported over. You had Just Dance 2014. Rayman. I mean, Final Fantasy Remake. Yeah, so I guess we started seeing some. You had Disney Infinity. So you started to see some indie games coming here, like Steampunk Dig or whatever. Some indie games coming here, like Guacamelee. So, that was a PS4, and then we get to PS5. So, I guess, generally, I guess this is, I guess it's just a little bit more remasters or something than I'm used to.
Maybe. I mean, it does sound like this year, there weren't as many, I guess, new titles coming in. Because I think, like, I know Last of Us 2 was supposed to release soonish. Yeah. I don't remember what happened with that.
Yeah, Last of Us 2, Cyberpunk 2077. Those are really two big games.
Mm-hmm.
They were so big that they had their own thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you could have, like, probably Call of Duty, Battlefield, I mean, the normals. But, I mean, it definitely beats Xbox still. I mean, Xbox got a lot of devs, from what I remember from their last conference. They acquired a bunch of new companies and devs, so they're going to be working on a lot of new games. But they really don't have gameplay, from what I know. So, and it's just like the whole entire thing again. It's like, whenever Xbox releases a game, there's always like a Windows version. So it's like, okay, why get an Xbox if you could get a PC?
That's a fair point. I mean,
to supplement that point, I think all PC games, they don't get sequels as often as console games, I feel. Because, I mean, like, there's no real influence over what games should get sequels or not, so it's up to, like, the developers, really.
Yeah, I mean, the PC is, like, the, I guess, like, the Wild West.
Yeah, you have a lot more just...
It's just, like, anything. Anything goes, from all the way down to Flash games to, like, big-budget AAAs.
Yeah, that is true.
Because, I mean, you had, like, the Flash games of old, which got poured over pretty much to apps and, like, mobile games, but... Mm-hmm. But I mean, the PC really has the whole flavor of everything. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Would I go out and buy a PS5? Depending on the price, depending on whatever, maybe. It's a maybe. Because I have a PC, and. I mean, the only way I would go out, because I mean, with the, like I said, with Sony, they have exclusives. And would I go out for those exclusives? That's what it comes down to. It's like, are those exclusives enough to
make you want to like buy the game console?
Yeah. Yeah, enough to vilify me getting that console, or whatever. But I mean, it definitely has a strong lineup, so. That's good, at least. I mean, it's not the best that I've seen, like, of all time, in terms of, like, presentations. I mean, I remember the Nintendo Switch presentation. That was probably one of my, from what, like, I was there for, hypest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, I think it's, like, the last time I was, like, super pumped about it. Like, this was, like, oh, yeah, it's pretty cool, but, like, the Switch was just something crazy.
Yeah, because I think also with the Switch, why it was so insane is just because, like, no one expected Nintendo to be open to more mature games. Like,
oh, yeah, that too. I mean, yeah.
Doom 2016 and then later Doom Eternal came out on the Switch. And I don't think anyone could have foreseen Nintendo working with Doom ever. Right?
Yeah.
And then, like, they open the floodgates to indie guys.
Yeah, you never think they work together. Now you see Animal Crossing with Doom, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just crazy.
But I think Nintendo is a really good test case of that first-party games, because I don't think they really remastered or remakes their games that much compared to other companies.
Yeah, I don't think...
They release sequels and stuff, but...
Yeah, I don't think they really had too many remasters come out. I think there's talk about maybe a Mario remaster coming out at some point in the future.
Yeah.
But, like, beyond that, I don't think I can think of too many times when there have been a lot of remasters. The 3DS did have some, but I don't think...
Yeah, I mean, they have their, like, emulator store, which is something kind of different.
It's kind of different, just because it's, like, not a remaster. It's just the game ported to the new console.
Yeah, it's a port. Yeah.
And I think a part of the reason that I don't really like remasters that much sometimes is because they change so much to the original game compared to like what it was originally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember one of the complaints some people had about Resident Evil 2 Remastered was that they showed Mr. X a lot, and they might have shown him a lot less in the original game or something. So he was felt like less of a threat because you saw him a lot more.
Yeah.
Right, so you knew who was making the loud footsteps, you know, that sort of thing. And, like, ports, they're pretty faithful normally. They don't try to change anything, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they'll give the art a little pizzazz, but normally it's just straight from console A to console B. That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess that's why Nintendo's, like, kind of keeping my hype. Or, like, whenever I see stuff that they make. Because it's just, like, I don't know, it just feels fresh. I mean, it's not, like, a remaster. It's not something you've already seen, just, like, in a different light. But, because, I mean, you look at it, and, like, a new Zelda, a new Mario, a new, I'm just thinking of, like, the first releases on that Switch was, like, Mario, Zelda, Splatoon. But they're all, like, concurrent. successors to the series or whatever. There wasn't any really that much, besides like ports and stuff, but then, I mean, there's also indie games. But in terms of first party, I think they were like, they still kept up that kind of like that feel of that, like, oh, first party game series is like really cool or something.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. I'm not saying it well, but.
Yeah. I mean, it works as long as you get your message apart.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So that was the conference and stuff. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And so we'll see you soon. All right. Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a good break as we did. Or if you braked or you're just sitting there doing whatever you do. But next on the list, so facial recognition and companies' thoughts, at least U.S. companies' thoughts on it, IBM, Amazon, Microsoft, Microsoft being like one of the newer ones, is dropping out of the whole facial recognition thing. They see it as wrong, and they're going to courts to fight against it and make laws for it. Now, take that as good or bad. My personal thoughts on this is that, so with these big companies, everyone's worried about privacy. So it makes sense that you don't want facial recognition. Now there's one issue that I see with it. But so what's your thoughts on this before I say mine?
Like just about the situation of them.
Yeah. So like the whole situation, like anything from like, what's your thoughts on facial recognition, how big companies use it, privacy, whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, I don't know. I think facial recognition is a tool that might be useful, but I ultimately just end up seeing it as something that's just going to become something that's just part of our day-to-day lives, whether we like it or not, and most likely it'll just be used for stuff that prevents us from having any true privacy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we're going into an era where just, like, privacy is, like, just becoming non-existent. Or, I mean, really, it's getting to the point where it just had to be, it just become normal. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's inevitable. But, what's your thoughts on, like, just big companies stop doing that right now? It's only, like, U.S. companies right now that's doing it.
Right, where they are, like, where they just stop doing it?
Yeah, well, like, whether yeah, they stopped their facial recognition like programs or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they're pulling out, honestly, just like because I'm more or less worried about like the government trying to like track you real hard, or just companies in general trying to track you real hard. Like Google tracks, like imagine if someone tracked you in real life as closely as Google tracks some of your searches and stuff, right? Like, that would be kind of scary. And, I mean, not to say that the government doesn't have the resources to develop this sort of technology on their own if they wanted to, but at least, like, since the big companies are pulling out, it might make it a little bit less, like, weird in terms of, like, companies trying to track you so they could advertise the correct products to you or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Let me throw in a note, too. I forgot to say this, but like one of the main reasons as well they pulled out is because I had a problem recognizing Black Americans. I should also throw that in there because that's another big pusher why they did it. The facial recognition has a problem recognizing Black Americans.
Yeah.
So and then other ethnic minorities. So, and being this country, I mean, that's always a huge, very, topic. So that could be a really big pusher. Now that I'm checking this a little bit more, but I mean, with both sides, I mean, your privacy and that issue, I could see why they pulled out, and that they're trying to do government laws because the government, I mean, we all remember, if you were there, the Mark Zuckerberg versus Facebook, or I mean, the Facebook versus the Supreme Court, or whatever. Like, they're always in the courts, but, like, if you remember this, they're talking, like, how the government's like, oh, so what's this internet, and what's this internet marketing? Like, what are ads? And, like, they had to explain that all to these people that are supposed to be judging him if he did something bad or not.
Yeah, and I think part of that, too, though, is, like, I don't know if there are any legal definitions of what some terms mean, you know? Because mm-hmm. law, I feel, is a lot about precise definitions sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And so, since they don't exist, they have to be like, okay, what is the internet? Mm-hmm. Like, in your words.
Yeah. And, I mean, the internet is still, like, relative to this whole entire founding of this country, so, like, what, 300 years or whatever, mm-hmm. the internet's generally new. Especially with all these laws and stuff. I mean, it wasn't until early 2000s, I guess, with the dot-com bubble or something, that internet companies really started to blow up. So it's generally new, like within 20 years. So it's like there hasn't been that much laws about it. But that's like with a lot of tech and like now you have artificial networks, machine learning, all that stuff. And like I always say, like the government really needs to be on top of that and make sure that there's regulations and stuff before they become out of hand. But I mean, if you look back at our country's history, it took like forever for like law to get where we're at in terms of laws. Lot of amendments, lot of stuff to get where we're at. So I can see why it's taking a while, but I mean mm-hmm. compared to back then, how it took like years for stuff to go wrong, it's you know, the whole entire tech thing, you know, with Moore's law, with the whole entire growth of technology, doubling stuff. Yeah. The rapid mm-hmm. increase of technology is like now the laws have to rapidly increase with it, otherwise they're gonna fall behind.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of true. Like they have to keep up with emerging technology now. It's not like how, as you said, like they didn't really do a lot of stuff with the internet until recently, right?
Yeah.
Like if new technologies keep coming out, like let's say space travel becomes a thing within our lifetime, laws are gonna have to keep up with every step of that way, right?
Yeah.
And, like, making sure people are safe. Or let's say, like, VR hits, like, an actual mainstream audience somehow, which I don't personally see happening anytime soon. Like, I don't see, like, VR becoming a literal household item yet. But, if that does become a thing, then there will probably need to be laws in place about things that you can or cannot do. Like, can you use a VR headset to do mm-hmm. like X, Y, or Z, that sort of stuff.
I mean, and there's also, we don't know the consequences of using all this technology. I mean, I'm not a conspiracist or anything. Like, yeah. I don't think it's as bad as what people are saying, but at the same time, we don't really have experiments or we don't have that extensive knowledge and tests and stuff. But like, I think it's generally fine, but we don't have that amount of years to see if it can truly cause problems or not.
Yeah, kinda and like I'm also in the same boat as you, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm not a Luddite, right? I'm not very anti-technology. It's just that, like, a lot of the stuff is very new, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, you can't really make laws on something that's so new because we don't know what's happening yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we can obviously see that the internet's not the greatest thing in the world. Like it's amazing and it has so much potential for good, but a lot of times people just end up spending a lot of time on there, right? Mm-hmm. And like I think a lot of like kids growing up today, their entire life's going to be documented on the web, and like
yeah,
we don't know the consequences of what that's going to do to the kid, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean,
yeah,
I feel like, yeah.
If you're listening to like people from like the older generations, they're always like, man, if there was internet back when I was in social media, I would be in so much trouble now. Like with the stuff I did in the past.
Yeah.
It's like, it's got way more, I guess, PG or something. With mm-hmm. everyone watching you, it's like, you can't really do anything crazy. I mean, I'm just gonna say, like, just Twitter itself.
Just Twitter.
Just Twitter, just Twitter. That's all I have to say. If you're alive in this generation, just Twitter is a perfect example. So
yeah, that's actually absolutely perfect. You don't need to say anything
else. There's nothing else. Twitter. You just have to say Twitter, and that's the whole generation right now explained to you.
Yeah, and like that's the argument for against like managing things on the internet. Just Twitter.
Just Twitter.
That's my whole argument right there. One word. Twitter.
Drop mic.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right though. I think Twitter is a pretty good summation of how our generation uses the web right now.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I think it also
might expose some issues. Yeah, our generation, some older generation, just like, it's just how society is right now. Rather than focusing on a single generation, but yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I mean, a given example, like cigarettes, I'm like not saying it's like as bad as cigarettes, but just like giving it, throw an example out there. Back in like, I don't know, whatever, the 40s or whatever, there was commercials about how good cigarettes are or whatever. And there was no regulations, and that took them years to figure out, wait, this is actually really bad for you. Or whatever, yeah. So, I mean...
Because, like, you're right, like, I think they were being advertised to people younger, too. Like, I don't think there was a legal smoking age until a certain point in time, right?
There was the cartoons, it was, like, all normal. It's just, like, tuning out or whatever. But
yeah, exactly.
That's just, I'm not saying it's gonna be like that, I'm just saying that was, like, that's an example of it.
Of what? Yeah, like, us proactively, or reactively being, like, hey, actually,
it's
this might not be good.
It's like that dog in the burning building. Like, this is fine.
Yeah, except that in this case, we don't really know the building's on fire.
Yeah.
We're just sitting in a room like, yeah, this is good. Everything's good. And then maybe down the line, we'll notice, hey, actually, there's a rager. There's a raging fire going in here, you know?
Yeah, once you have more tests.
We gotta get out.
I mean, yeah. like they said, I remember reading, it's like, every time they change the educational system, they have to test, they have to keep it like that for, I think it's like 20 years or something. Something like that. Like, for the whole entire, like, that generation to go through the whole entire education system to see if it actually works or not. And that means if it was a bad choice, that means all those kids are, like they have, like, a less of an education than other generations. But that's how they go about it, and it takes time. But yeah.
Yeah.
Going back on this whole entire facial recognition, I mean, of course, America is always, like, with all the rights that we have and stuff, we're always slow at changing, I guess, or quick, or there's always want for change, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's, like, very hard to do some stuff in this. Everyone has their own opinion. I'll just leave it there. But then you have countries like China, that's, like, communist or whatever, that they can control, and so now they're going to build their facial recognition, like, better than ours. So, yes, we're not doing it, but that's not stopping other countries from doing it, and that's where I see the problem. And that's why I see that we should keep having those big companies work on it, just to keep up with China and stuff, because we don't want them to beat us and then and then use it as, like, an advantage, in a way.
Yeah, I guess I can see where you're going with that. I personally don't agree with that, just because, like, I don't think there's a need for facial recognition, really. I think the way that there would be a need for facial recognition is, like, maybe it would help with, like, law and, like, enforcing it. Like, if someone gets mugged or whatever and a street cam happens to catch their face, then you could use facial recognition software to more accurately match stuff, since, I forget what they're called, but, like, witnesses, essentially, to the crime, they sometimes can be pretty inaccurate with choosing people, because, like, it's been a while. They don't normally go into the police office, like, the day after and, like, say, okay, yeah, that's the dude. Normally, there's a bit of a time. And, like, other times, like, they just don't remember it correctly.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it works. So I think, in that aspect, yeah, facial recognition is a good thing. But I don't think it's good, like, how, from what I've heard, China's using it, which is more, like, tracking.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's kind of, like, inevitable, so, I don't know. But we'll see how that goes. In other news, in hardware, so, there's been a leak. The GeForce RTX 3080 now. We're ready on 3080. Gosh. I remember when just, like, 980s were, like, the thing. But they just keep evolving now. Was leaked. Huge heat sinks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's really not that much to say about it. Just, like, another hardware graphics card.
So. Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool to see that there's another one coming out already.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I'm just kind of like, dang.
Yeah.
We're already on 30.
That means 2080s will be cheaper, so...
That is true.
That's why I look at it.
Yeah,
if you're, I can buy a 2080 like now.
Yeah, if you're like me, stuck with a 1070 and you want to upgrade your graphics card, here's your chance.
Yeah. If you're like me with a 980 Ti still.
Dang.
But, yeah, I might get a 20, but... Yeah, so that was just that little small thing. Reddit being Reddit and leaking stuff as normal. Yep. Last thing. Android 11 got released.
Woohoo.
Beta.
Can't wait to not have it until a month from now.
Yeah. So, it's there. Now, Facebook Messenger basically is integrated into your phone. So now you have bubbles everywhere.
Yeah. So, like, instead of, so, like, you know how Facebook Messenger has, like, the circle that pops up on your screen when you have, like, an ongoing conversation? That's how text messages are now going to work.
Yeah, it's not actually Facebook, but it's like Facebook Messenger.
No, it literally looks almost identical to how Facebook would do it, but it is for messages.
Yeah.
Which I am personally not for. I am so tired of seeing bubbles pop up on my screen when I do not need them to be. Man. It's not like, and plus, like, I don't know about you, but I don't text anymore, really. I mainly do online stuff. Yeah. Like, I'll DM someone or, you know, that sort of thing. I don't normally just, like, actually text someone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's going to be like apply to those apps as well, like say Signal or Telegram or Kick or whatever people use nowadays for that sort of stuff. Maybe Discord, but I hope not, because
so many notifications and servers not, and everything.
Like, what if it's not even a ping, it's just like straight up a message goes into a server and it pops up? I don't think I'd ever be able to see my home screen again, dude.
It'd be like pop-up ads all over.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a feature you could turn on off, so...
This was hopefully most of these you can turn off, because I think they also have app suggestions that are now going to replace your dock, right?
Yeah, ooh. So that's a hot take. App suggestions, I come from Samsung, and...
Same.
I don't like how they have all those apps. I like to have a clean, like, where it's like that in like Dell, how they have like all these support assistants and everything. But like on the Samsung phone specifically, it's like you have what, the health app, you have whatever carrier you have. So if you have like AT&T, you have AT&T home, AT&T phone, like all, like at least five carrier apps. And then you have like all these extra like calendar, like all these extra apps and stuff. And just, like, I had to go through and delete them all or disable them. And, like, some of them, you just you can only disable them. You can't delete them. And it's just, like, it's a big pain. And then, of course, there's Bixby. And then, I mean, there's a whole entire, like, thing with the S8s and the Bixby button.
Gosh.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, new update. There you go if you want it.
Yep. I mean, again, I will be turning off the app suggestions immediately.
Yeah. So, all right. That was all for this week. Been a lot of stuff. Of course, couldn't cover everything because now we have too much stuff to cover this week, but that's a lot of the main stuff. So, hope you guys enjoyed it. Looking forward to the next podcast, and hope you're all staying safe indoors, staying well, staying healthy, especially in time like this with everything going on both fronts. And make sure you follow, subscribe, like, or whatever apps. Yep,
follow us on our social medias.
Yeah,
and make sure to give us a like on whatever streaming service.
Yeah, whatever. I still don't know what we're on, but
I think we're on. I know we're on Spotify.
Yeah,
right?
Spotify, Anchor,
and Apple Podcasts. I think
Apple, Facebook.
Yes, we do. We have a Facebook. We have a Instagram. Twitter account, and I think we have an Insta as well. I think we have a Twitter. I'm pretty positive. I should know this.
Learn something new every day.
yeah.
yeah, go do what you gotta do, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
Yep.